Have you seen the other one about what's her name? The blue something. It's the documentary.
Teal Swan.
Teal Swan?
We're talking cult docs now. This is going great.
I'm sorry. You know, I know we were supposed to talk disaster, but cult
things
freak,
that don't make
shit?
Me panic, cult documentaries. They make me incredibly happy. TV. Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting behind-the-scenes insight. You know what it is from the people who make the shows you love. You just heard a little tease of my chat with Don't Panic host Anthony Atamanik. I absolutely loved speaking with him. I love Don't Panic already, so we had to discuss some of the situations that might make me panic, like being in the Ocean Gate submersible and how I might survive that. That whole thing where if HBO Max starts putting CNN news alerts on my TV shows, how I will lose my mind. I will cause me to panic constantly. So we get into that. Some of our favorite shows we're watching right now, Traitors, and really, we get into some cult docs. And if you've missed some of the best cult docs of the year, you're going to want to listen to this episode. Okay, let's get into it. Enjoy my interview with Anthony Atamanik. Tony Atamanik, welcome to TV Club. I'm so glad you're here. I've been listening to your podcast. I absolutely love it. The Allison Leiby episode, the Colton Dunn one. Good stuff you're doing over there. But, you know, for my listeners, why don't you tell me about the podcast? Don't Panic.
Yeah, I mean, Don't Panic is a fun combination of improv scenario, comedic interview, but also sort of a deep dive into the roots of people's, you know, panic and fear. And are they fear-based people? It's interesting to see what scares people, what doesn't, also see how people react in panic scenarios. So the improv part is sort of, I like it because we're also surprising the guest with the scenario. So the guest has no idea what's coming their way. And even if they're not an improviser, because we've had people who aren't improvisers, who are stand-ups and so on, everyone always rises to the occasion. We have an incredible sound design. We introduce this situation, like in the Leiby episode, which I think is up right now, being trapped in the subway, which is a New Yorker's nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Every time I'm there, I'm afraid of that.
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you, when you hear the episode, but it's true. Like, both of us have had moments like that. And it really is like time slows. You don't know what's going on. And then we end the episode by sort of getting real answers to how would you actually save yourself in this situation. And then sometimes we apply it in the scene. Other times we don't so successfully apply it, but that's why it's a comedy show. And, you know, although there is great advice in it, it is not an actual, you know, like that, this should be part of a number of resources you go to.
You're not the source for accident survival.
Yeah. And I should say that you can listen to episodes of Don't Panic ad-free on Wondery Plus and everywhere you listen to podcasts every week. Prime members, by the way, can listen to new episodes ad-free on Amazon Music. And if that didn't sound natural, it's because I read it.
Hey, I'm called to action. I feel called to action with that one.
Oh, I'll call everybody to action. Trust me.
So, I mean, I'm obsessed with shows that are about how to survive different accidents. I can't stop watching them. I'm obsessed with right now Air Disasters, which is all about people surviving insane plane crashes.
Is this on Freevee? Is that on the Freevee?
So it's on Freevee.
We just discovered Freevee the other day.
It's the best thing in the world, right? Not to do a call to action, but like they have really good shows on that thing. And nobody knows what it is. Everyone's just like, what? It's in Amazon Prime, but like, what is it? And then you go and they have the best comedies, but also Air Disasters.
Oh, Air Disasters. It's so funny. I looked at Air Disasters just the other day. I haven't done it yet because right now I'm on these seven signs that Christ is returning, which was made in 2002.
Okay.
So this is, but wait, this is the other thing about Freevee. Freevee has like, I watched a documentary on psychopaths made in 1997 where they literally at one point they're like, business psychopaths are, you know, and they cut to the Twin Towers. And my wife kept saying, this was made in the 90s. I'm like, no, I don't think this was made in the 90s. Yeah. And then they refer to the Twin Towers with no, like, it's not like, oh, back in the day. It's like, this is like made. And the other thing about that, that show was no one was on phones. Because yeah, there was no
phones.
So one, Freevee is a repository of some of the most arcane, bizarre, old stuff. But anyway, get into this Air Disasters because I'm psyched to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, I also got it. There's a few things on there that I feel are disaster related because I also started watching Hotel Hell, which is with Gordon Ramsay, and I had no idea about it. And then at one point in an episode, he's asking someone if like, the owner smokes pot and he's like, is marijuana legal? And I noticed someone pull out the oldest flip phone and I had to look and I was like, when did this show come out? And it's over a decade old and I had no idea. But these are two situations that I find myself in a lot that cause me panic. I'm traveling a lot by plane. Yes. And I just watched an episode where the top of a plane came off like a tuna can. They were like,
sheared off,
but like only one person died and everybody else just had to ride the rest of the flight with of the plane missing.
What kind of plane was it, by the way? I'm always curious about that.
So it was like a Boeing 757, the one that's like always having problems. But this was back in like the 90s, I think.
757 back in the 90s, or 737 probably.
Yeah, that one.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I would research the plane. So I knew, okay, I'm in an Embraer 175, which means that there's two eggs. I know I am so scared to fly. And one of the ways that I've gotten over my fear of flying is that I do research. I have a turbulence report app that gives me up-to-date pilot reports on where turbulence is. I will change flights based on the turbulence map.
That's smart. I'm
hardcore when it comes to freaking out about planes. Well, you've seen there's another show. Oh, God, I wish I could remember the name of this show, but on the Weather Channel.
Yeah, yeah.
That breaks down. It's sort of like my podcast, but it like breaks down like what your here's your weather scenario. Like here's your tsunami. And then what would you do in a tsunami? And then it gives you like four choices. And it's like, stay in the tsunami, get to higher ground, goes. And there's always one that's like, get a good tan. And you're like, why are you bothering?
Like, this isn't a time for jokes. Okay, Weather Channel. Trying to learn and save myself.
Why can't Weather Channel just be? I thought this the other day about television when the hurricane was hitting Florida. Why is CNN, MSNBC... why is everyone and their brother reporting on this Florida hurricane when we have two dedicated weather channels? We have AccuWeather and Weather Channel. Why not? Why? And I know that they have to have parent companies that like are in like collusion with each other.
They know when the weather's hot.
Why doesn't CNN just go, or whoever, go, okay, well, go to the Weather Channel now?
No, because like, they need the views. You know, like when we had our stuff here in LA, when it was the hurricane, I was actually watching, you know, CNN because they were actually talking about it, even though it was really just a little bit of rain. And then we had a normal earthquake. But, you know, I want it in the moment. I was like, I need someone who's addressing this with the same kind of urgency. And yeah. I don't even know that I get the Weather Channel because I'm a cord cutter. So like I don't even know how to do it.
Oh, you see, I've come from, I don't know what it is. It's like, I think because I grew up not with a lot of dough. And the big sign of success was that my grandfather had cable. Like like that was the big thing, that he had cable. And so I remember when I was little, I'm 49. So I remember being like 12 or 13 and being like, when I make it, I'll have every cable channel and that'll be how I've made it. One in my family ever had all the movie channels, right?
Do you have them? You got them?
Not only do I have them all, my wife is like, why do we have this? We don't even watch
Like, what, cable. Do you have, like, the STARS package? What,
I
you
have
like?
The STARS. But you know, STARS has got a lot of good programming.
They actually do
it.
Have some good stuff now. I mean, I've been enjoying, Minx moved over there, so I've been watching some of their stuff. And they had the Party Down reboot. Or
and they had, in my opinion, they had the better NXIVM doc. They had NXIVM doc.
Oh, Tony, right? Tony, I could talk about this all day. I can talk about this all day, how Seduced, the NXIVM doc on STARS, is way better than The Vow, which wasted our time for two seasons.
Yes.
10 hours of two seasons.
Yes.
And Seduced had this thing all nailed down in four episodes. I wrote an entire article about this for the AV Club.
You
I was
did, really?
So angry. Yes.
I mean, Seduced was brilliant and also, I think, more honest because I believe that the other NXIVM doc is weirdly... A version was them
it's
trying
propaganda.
To parlay.
Yeah.
Yes, they were trying to parlay it's, and basically separate. What's his name? Separate him from
Mark Vicente
their...
and
yes,
Keith
and
Raniere.
I think I taught Mark Vicente improv because I remember there being a couple in an improv class and he looked so familiar to me.
I mean, absolutely.
And it makes sense. They were only like 20 minutes, 30 minutes away from the city.
Yeah.
And it was an intensive that I taught. So it was like a week. It was, you know, a level one intensive. I swear I taught NXIVM people improv.
I would believe it. So they went, the cult in Albany was really close to where I went to college. And they would come to our campus and like try to recruit us.
Ugh.
Like our campus was so far away from Albany or any real city that you could tempt kids by being like, we'll give you a ride to the mall. And kids would be like, fine, a ride to the mall. And all I have to do is like listen to a NXIVM.
Wait, where'd
tape.
You go to school?
Williams College in Western Mass.
Yeah, I know Williams.
Yeah, it's like
of
nowhere.
I'm from Massachusetts.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's like as far west
it's
as you
far
can be.
Out there. Yeah,
middle
yeah,
of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so they'd come to campus and be like, hey, come do a cappella with us and we'll take you to Chipotle. And they were so into like nerdy college, like campus things for team building. And so I could totally see him doing improv.
Have you seen the other one about what's her name? The blue something. It's the documentary.
Teal Swan.
Teal Swan.
We're talking cult docs now. This is going.
I'm
great.
Sorry.
You know,
I know we were supposed to talk disaster, but cult
things
freak,
that
who gives
don't
a
make
shit?
Me panic. Cult documentaries. They make me incredibly happy.
Yeah.
The Teal Swan doc. It was actually my number one doc of last year because it's the most just intimate look at a cult that we have ever, I think, seen recorded. Because the whole premise of her being like, I'm going to prove we're not a cult by hiring a documentary crew to record us not being a cult. And then even the documentary crew is like, you're a cult. Like, I'm so, like, we just have to call it what it is.
Well, the Miss Marple woman, my favorite is the Miss Marple investigator who, like, she's like, I love how she really, to me, exemplified the sort of like, I'm going to come into this totally without a judgment. And I'm really gonna live by that principle and then see what I find. So that when she gets to the point where she's like, listen, you're a cult. Like she's like, the conclusion is so clear.
Yeah.
And you're like, this woman is 100,000% accurate because she so clearly communicated her impartiality in the beginning.
Yeah, it was so just like, hey, I didn't
Teal
come
Swan's
here to,
still
teal,
going.
To tear you down. You had me. She's still going. She's gotten even bigger. She just used that documentary and was like, see how much they hate me because I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
And that's what they always do. But
See, now that panics me. You want to talk about, in my view, real panic, like real fear, is like, being like that you found yourself in a cult, like you
joined
something.
Do you think that
something.
Would happen to you? You'd find yourself in a cult?
No, I don't know. I'm way, 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 way too cynical. I mean, some people say UCB, but but UCB didn't have the criteria of a cult in the basic criteria of a cult, which is that nobody actually, you know, there was no keeping you there. People were free to come and go as they pleased.
You're not like selling your house to support.
Nobody
it.
Was giving up their life for, you know, I mean, if you were, you were voluntarily doing that. Like nobody was ever going like, give up your money. The only problem was actually, I think, is that near the end, the big mistake was they broke the bond between the free performing and the free, like when they started to penalize people for not showing up for shows and things like that financially, you can't do that. And I don't think that meant that they were culty. I think it meant that they made a bad decision.
Yeah, they made a bad choice there.
That opened up the door for people who have that weird edge about it to then make that accusation. But so no, I don't think so.
Yeah, because I don't think I'd end up in a call. I just hate people telling me what to do. That's my thing.
And my thing is the minute someone says I have the answer, I'm like, oh, no, you don't.
No, you don't. Yeah.
And also, like, you want to have sex with me? No way.
No. The second Keith Raniere is trying to, and I hate Keith Raniere so much. Ugh. I feel like I was put on Earth just to destroy him. I mean, yeah, he's in prison for like 100 years, but I just feel like I need to be mean to him all the time.
Yeah.
One of the worst cult leaders. Every time they would show a clip of him being like, I have such a high IQ. I was like, put me in there. I would tear him down.
Well, it's such a bullshit. We could get into the real social constructs of why the demographic of cult leaders tend to be
Keith
a particular
Raniere,
race, a particular gender. Yeah. They tend to be white men who have the balls. They have the balls
to lie.
because they feel so comfortable. And what's crazy is that we have a system that's inherently designed to buttress that and actually reinforce it so that then no one questions it, which is the craziest part
of it. Like, people like him end up on the cover of Forbes and stuff. I'm curious, have you watched any of this year's cult docs? Did you see Shiny Happy People?
Yes, I did see Shiny Happy People.
I don't know if that's Freevee or Prime Video, but it's on there.
That's on Prime Video. Remind me of what group that was.
It's about the Duggars and the Quiverful people who believe in having as many children as possible.
Well, you know that I think tonight it's coming back on HBO Max. Is that other family?
Yes. Welcome to Prattville.
Welcome to Prattville. Plathville, and things are falling apart over there.
Oh, I can't wait for this new season. I got obsessed with that show kind of all at once, and I watched the last four seasons. I never got into the Duggars. That always, I was just kind of like, who cares? You got a bunch of kids. Well, it's disgusting. Okay, a lot of people have a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then you find out, oh, it's because they raised them all in a cult and everybody is just watching you be like, what? Like, why aren't you teaching your daughters math? Vice did have a really good cult doc, and I cannot remember the name of it.
What was that?
But they go.
I love every cult doc.
Yeah. Oh,
every.
And this Even one, the... it's so good. It's called The Devil You Know. It was two seasons, but it basically is about Sherry Schreiner and the alien reptile cult. And it goes from like how she started this cult in the 90s and it led to QAnon and how a bunch of QAnon people are like, oh no, basically our movement came from this woman, Sherry Schreiner. It talks about like the people that she basically had killed. It's really well done. And that was one of the few Vice docs where I was like, okay, they're really laying it out here. People said that Ocean Gate, Ocean Gate, the submersible that exploded trying to see the Titanic. People said that this was a conspiracy to distract the public from bigger news and that all of these billionaires faked their deaths so that they could go live on a pod on Mars or somewhere else because the planet's ending. So these billionaires are trying to do this. First question, is it a cult? Second question, you're on the Ocean Gate submersible. What do you do to not panic? How do you save yourself in this situation?
Well, the first thing is, no, I don't believe that that's real. I never believe in this happened as a distraction from other news because, again, that's so narrow, right? Like there's
but what about did know that they were dead the first day and then the news just like they just didn't tell anyone and kept the news going?
Well,
a little suspicious.
I think what it had to do more so was until they reach this is more operative, which is they want to have evidence, right? So the whole idea was we're not going to officially, it's like the Maui death count, right?
Yeah,
probably 1,000. I mean, that's terrible what happened in Maui. I'm not being glib about it. But like they say there's like 100 people, right, or something dead. there's probably close to 1,000 people dead, but they're not going to say that, right? They're going to qualify it as missing.
Until
it's confirmed.
And that's what they did in Puerto Rico. And then everybody was like, see, it's a conspiracy. They lied to us. And it was like, well, no, if you had just paid attention to like a few weeks later when they updated the number and they were like, this is the number.
Yeah.
But then it's it's a conspiracy now.
It's our addiction to immediate information. And then I think the second thing is, I don't know if you also watched the documentary on the German guy, or was it German guy or Swedish guy who built the submarine and then chopped that woman's head off in there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I watched that one. The Deep, I believe, on Netflix. Really good documentary.
I don't mean to be glib, but it's like, what is up with submarine people?
Yeah.
Why are they so crazy?
He was Danish, I think.
Why are submarine people so fucking weird? If someone's like, I'm working on a submarine, I'm like, okay, so you're a serial killer.
And it was such a, like, the way he truly believed he was going to get away with it. And the only there was just that one forensic woman who was like, I knew I was going to get his ass. And she was just so passionate about like being like, and she was just like, not only am I a mastermind at criminal crime scenes and forensics, I'm also a sub expert. Yeah. I know all about your little sub. And I was like, what happened that those were your hobbies?
Yeah. So I would never get in the sub, but let's say I got in the sub.
You're in the sub.
Okay. If I'm in the sub, they like started lowering it into the water.
And you see the PlayStation controller.
I'd be like, let me out. I've decided I don't want to go. Now, let's say we're underneath, right?
We're in there.
And he's like, uh-oh, something's not working.
Yeah, he's like, uh-oh, that's our acoustic crack alarm telling me that there's been a breach.
I think I probably would fold into myself and just accept that I won't know when I've died. That I think that would just be, there is no escape because you cannot get out. You can't escape because you'll get crushed. You're too far down. So there is no, and also no one's in scuba gear. There's no scuba gear. So that's a death sentence. There's no getting out of that.
I did love that so many people on the internet were just like, I think I could have survived this. There were just like so many people who were like, look, I'm built different. I would have done like a barrel roll. And there was one guy who was like, I would have escaped through an air bubble as the explosion was happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, first of all, it's an implosion. What are you?
I would escape through an air bubble. What an asshole.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to go back to plane disasters for a second because I forgot to. So one, there's that video of the person who was able to open the door. Well, the reason they were able to open it was because they were so close to landing. So the reason you can't open that door, like the reason you don't have to worry about someone being able to open that door up in the air, like at 35,000 feet, is because the pressure on the door is so extreme. There would be no way for you to open the door, right? So that was reassuring. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation. I watched a woman who had too many walk up and go and start to pull on the emergency
door. No, I've never been in that situation. I would lose it.
I stood up and I started screaming. I literally stood up and started screaming, look what she's doing. And the fucking, you know, flight attendant ran over and said, "Sir, you need to sit down." I went, "No, no, 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 no." I said, "This is not about me." I said, "Do you see that? Do you see that?" And the steward literally went, "Oh," and then ran, like, was like, "Oh, like,
like, oh, you're being a hero, actually. You're doing your job as a global citizen who says, sees something and says something." Like,
oh my God.
You know, we're talking about how, you know, these conspiracy-esque news stories have become the basically what is treated as a real documentary today. Like, have you noticed that TMZ has been making actual news documentaries for, like, yes, NBC, and it shows up on and they did one that was about a 9/11 plane that was supposed to be like the fifth plane or something,
right?
And yeah, they were like, it got hijacked, but then some people said that people were being weird and they just let us off the plane and nothing happened. And then they actually talked to investigators and they're like, no, nothing happened, those people just thought there was some weird lady on their plane. That was literally all it was.
TMZ should stick to interviewing Rachel outside of the laundromat about Scandaball. TMZ is very good at that. That's what they're good at. They don't need to do news documentary. Harvey Levin, I mean, the notion that Harvey Levin, who essentially was a poor man's Doug Llewellyn. That's all he was a poor man's Doug Llewellyn. When Jerry Sheinland hosted the reboot of People's Court,
yeah,
because Judge Judy was like, Jerry should have a show too.
Yeah.
And Harvey Levin would stand at that fucking shitty Herald Square Mall kiosk and interview people.
Yeah.
And then later TMZ shows up and I'm like, that's the fucking People's Court guy. And now it's like Harvey Levin's like, you know,
and now he's like a news media maker and is like, yep, I do important documentaries about the secret person controlling Britney Spears' life or something.
But here's the weird thing. Here's the weird thing about it. Because, you know, there's so many things like this that have happened where then later you're like, wow, I actually wish that still existed. I feel like TMZ is one of those things where,
true,
it's like something way worse is going to come along. That's going to usurp it. That's going to be just fucking crazy.
And it'll be like, well, at least with TMZ, we could trust them when they said, maybe it was unethical the way they got their information, but you could trust the information. It was checked. And now it's all being replaced by like Twitter accounts, like Pop Things and like Pop Base.
Well, X has got a, I don't know what's going to happen.
I really respect you using the new name. That's really big of you.
I actually don't, you know, a lot of people like call it Twitter. And I think I went through a thing where I went, I don't want to call it Twitter because that's an insult to Twitter. You know?
Yeah. And it's starting to get real bad to the point where it's like, I don't want to be affiliated with Elon Musk and the things happening here. It's just embarrassing to.
Well, there's some new terms of service thing about using your stuff.
And yeah. Your biometrics and your jobs and your career history. And so it's so weird. It's impossible to use it now. If you try to search anything, it's all spam. It's all bots. It's, you can't even tell who's a real person because it's just so many people being like, oh, want to know the weather in Southern California? Text me. And it's just like, what?
And the good thing is it's failing. Listen, this is one thing to talk about TV is, and I know that cable and streaming and all this, okay, whatever. But still, there is something where it cannot work. Like Twitter as like people trying to broadcast for 2 hours, 3 hours on there. It doesn't work. I had a Twitch channel. Trust me. I know. I had a Twitch channel. You know, unless you're in a hot tub in a bikini, which was the primary thing on the Twitch thing that actually was successful shows. If you're trying to do a show, people just want to watch you play video games. They don't care.
Yeah.
If
they don't want to watch you watch a TV show.
No. And on YouTube, you know, yes, there are shows that show up on YouTube, but if something succeeded on YouTube, it moved to streaming. So there is still a world where we want to watch things on TV. You know, we want to consume them on TV. And there's a certain vibe about TV that just is unique.
It's unique. So I wanted to ask you about this TV controversy.
Yes.
That I think kind of ties in with everything we've been talking about. But Max just announced that they're going to start testing CNN breaking news alerts while you're watching their shows. How you feeling about this? Yay or nay? As someone who's trying to encourage people not to panic, do you think it's a good idea to have breaking news?
No.
While you're, you know, binge watching just like Golden Girls?
No. And here's why. The reason why I have a streaming app on is because I don't want interference. I don't want anything to interfere. Secondly, my phone will notify me if there's like a nuke or something heading somewhere. The
phone
will let
is
you
right
know.
There and they know I'm looking at my phone.
Right. And the other thing to me is breaking news has evolved from actual important information that used to be communicated. Again, I'm old. In the 20th century, breaking news was reserved for serious news.
Yeah.
Then 9/11 happened. And all the cable companies went, we should say breaking news about everything. And so over the course of the next 10 years, breaking news became, okay, the anthrax thing. Okay, okay. Oh, wait, no, now it's, a famous person, did this. Okay, now it's that, breaking news, someone's arriving back at the White House. And also the ticker was born out of that. So the ticker used to be something that would slide
up. Just to give it some examples, here's some breaking news alerts I've gotten on my phone in just the past like 20 minutes. Heavy rains, Ebola rumors, this year's Burning Man fiasco turned into the ultimate tech culture clash. My thoughts and prayers with everyone who had to survive Burning Man this year. BuzzFeed, I practically spit out my coffee scrolling through these 24 hilarious tweets from this week.
Breaking news.
And CNBC. 68-year-old who unretired shares his secrets to living a happy, regret-free life, which just sounds like propaganda to get me not to retire.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's propaganda to raise the age of retirement, too.
Yeah.
Which is,
this 68-year-old said, I'm still kicking.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I think I think Zaslav is a fucking moron.
He's not a smart guy.
I think that what they're doing with, they've completely sullied the name of HBO.
Yeah.
HBO's
watching it
shell of itself for a while.
Like just fold in with Discovery and now Max. And I open the app and it's like, oh, do you want to watch Sister Wives next to The Sopranos?
Yeah.
And now
it's like The Enquirer merged with The Washington Post. Yeah. It's like, what? Why is The Enquirer news stories on The Washington Post? So, why in God's name would I want to be watching a show and get a news alert in the sense of just in the quality of all you're going to do is people are going to go, I don't want to watch this app anymore because now I don't want to be bothered with this shit. I'm trying to watch it. And also, this is the whole point. I do not understand this. So it used to be, you paid for the cable, right? Or you watched TV for free on antenna.
Yeah.
And then you went to the movies, and the point was that you spent back in the day $5.50, $6.50 for a ticket. And that meant that you got ads for the movie theater. Like you got like go to get the popcorn and
maybe
try
some
Coca-Cola.
Local businesses before the show.
But that was it. And then the movie started, and you watched the previews and you watched the movie. And that was it. And then it started to be, there's a Coca-Cola commercial now, or there's a commercial that was on TV and now it's showing beforehand. And they tricked it out by going, we'll give you a word jumble about Jack Nicholson and The Shining and all this bullshit, right? So then you start going, and now you go to the movies. It's just literally straight up 20 minutes of fucking
of
ads you have to sit
of
through and bullshit.
Ads and commercials. And not before that you even get to the trailers. Like, it's just... And then, you're paying like $35-$40 a ticket now.
And you're paying to watch ads. So my thing is I thought the whole point of the streaming services, and it's particularly HBO, there are two tiers, right? There's a tier, an ad tier, and there's a non-ad tier. So if I'm paying for the non-ad tier, why the fuck do you think, if I'm the demographic of person who's like, I don't want to be bothered, that you're like, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to bother you because now on cable, right? you know, if you watch like Bravo, if you're watching Housewives, right?
Oh, there's pop-ups watching, all over the screen.
There's a pop-up on the left. There's a thing
on
the right.
It's all over the place.
It shrinks in. And then you're seeing Andy Cohen in the clubhouse looking at, you know, one of his guests. And then
it's truly just
out.
Like a little pop-up constantly. Just like Andy Cohen below deck, look at Captain Sandy. Look at Captain Sandy dance.
Captain Sandy. I'm a Captain Lee guy myself.
Okay. I mean, Captain Lee is my second favorite. Captain Sandy's Captain number Lee. One for me.
But you know what? I've never actually experienced Captain Sandy, so I don't know. I have to watch.
It's I feel it is a controversial choice for me to say I love her. People tend to not like her. I think it's misogyny. But also she like got fired a girl because she had a vape pen. And so everyone is like, that was really rude. But
is she Mediterranean? Is that
yeah,
what she
she's
does?
A Below Deck Med.
Okay, I'll have to see that.
Yeah, and then this current season of Below Deck Down Under, it's been a really good one. There's just a lot happening. Like every
is this
episode.
The assault, right?
Oh, yeah, there was the assault. This past episode, one of the charter guests had a seizure and like during the meal. So people thought he was like choking and he has a seizure.
And this is Kate, right?
Aisha, she's the chief stew, and then Jason is the captain.
Okay.
And it's like, and then Aisha started having a breakdown because her brother died from a seizure, so it like triggered her. And then the girl who was assaulted, like she has still been like processing that, and the guy who did it has been like contacting her, so she starts drinking during the charter, which you know.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's you can't do that.
And he's gone. He got put off the boat, right?
Oh yeah, immediately as soon as Captain Jason found out, he was like, "You're getting off the boat. You're fired."
Bravo didn't give a shit though.
Bravo was like, we have the footage. A Bravo producer did stop it, but it very much felt like
it ran up to the edge, I think.
Yeah, that like a Bravo producer stopped it because they were like, you know what, we've had this happen a lot before.
Yeah.
And you know, but
it's like the reforming of James Kennedy. I mean, this is like the reforming of the image of James Kennedy, who clearly has been physical with previous girlfriends, and I mean it's inferred, so this is alleged, obviously. I can't say it's true, but it's inferred that he has been physical, so and yet because Raquel and Tom did their thing, which in the grand scheme of things, I have to say, now having distance from Scandoval,
not that big of a deal.
And it's also like, I mean, Ariana seemed to do quite well. I mean, she's got multiple endorsements for a person who's not married and doesn't have kids with the person.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal that you have like multiple endorsements.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, you're at that stage and age where like, I don't know. I was like, are you really this shocked that this is how this went down?
I mean, I know them both. So I have to be judicious. I have to be.
Right.
Yes. Balanced when it comes to this.
You don't take a side here.
I mean, I wrote Tom and condemned him. You know, I wrote him and told him what I thought about what he did, you know, because it was toxic and fucked up, you know, and that was it. I mean, I left it at that.
You know, you gotta hold your friends accountable.
You gotta hold them. I wouldn't say a friend, but an acquaintance.
But I don't. I watched the other Vanderpump Rules documentary about the other scandal with Randall scandal.
With Randall scandal. Yeah. I haven't watched Randall scandal.
I thought that one was really good, and it was like
it was good.
Way worse than like the Tom stuff. I was like, this is the worst controversy here, but I guess he like isn't exciting and he like left the show. So people just didn't really care as much.
I think that the problem was there was a lot of cease and desist stuff that came from Randall. So I think that it couldn't be talked about as much. I think Lala has like restrictions on what she can talk about.
Yeah.
Even on her podcast, she doesn't discuss it much.
Yeah. And she talks about that. She was like, there's still like legal stuff he's threatening her with. And like, she had a kid with him. So it's like a whole real mess. But that I think got too real. It got too real for the people.
That got too real.
I do want to talk about your watch list before we wrap up here. We're here to talk
to
about
it.
Some TV.
We're starting to cover it already. Yeah,
I mean, we got so into the cult and there's so many good ones.
You have to send me a list because I'm always looking and I feel like there's some I've missed.
Oh, yeah. Every cult. Did you do Sex, Lies, and the College Cult?
Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah, well, that's the Peacock one, but did you do the better one on Hulu?
Yo, no, we did both.
Okay. So then you're really about it. You're really about it.
Because also I really feel like that guy in particular, there's certain, talk about conspiracy. I'm like, what's his deal? What's his setup? He seems like some sort of asset or something. He's manipulating people. He's, you know.
Yeah. Randomly does have photos with like important people. And
he knows Bernie Kerik. Bernie Kerik in the one doc has to distance himself. But Bernie Kerik is a dark individual.
Yeah.
Who did some dirty shit, including like sleeping with some woman during 9/11, like instead of being where he was supposed to be. Everyone knows about that. But that Bernie Kerik was at his like mistress's apartment while the towers were collapsing.
Oh, wow.
Bernie Kerik is also friends with New Jersey housewife Caroline Manzo and her husband, and also connected with Giuliani. So,
yeah,
that's a lot of darkness.
And he's just, that one was really top notch. And I love that there were two, so you get the comparison against, again, like Seduced and The Vow.
Yes.
But I don't know. We're in a kind of lull right now. I think we like found all the cults that are willing to talk.
Yes.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your watch list.
Okay.
You sent a few things over. What I really want to hit on is that you just finished And Just Like That. Tell me what you think, because you don't seem like the core demographic to me. So I'm really curious about your perspective.
Okay. One, I am not the core demographic. So my wife watched Sex and the City, and then when And Just Like That was coming out, she did a rewatch. And I said, what the fuck is with this show? And I started watching it and I went, holy shit, this is a great show.
It's a great show.
It's a great show. And I think one nice thing about hitting the middle of your life is that you can shed. I mean, this is a deeper discussion, but like, I think, you know, one underreported thing is how as a young man, you're raised to basically gnarl yourself into this emotionless husk. And then, of course, why do we think there's so much hatred of women and homophobia and all this is because we see other people getting to live their full emotional Pantone book. We get other people who get to. And I think that what happens is if you unfurl yourself, you stop identifying sort of weird judgments about television or what you consume with who you are as a person. And so, and just like that, or Sex and the City was something I remember, you know, I'm sure having a very patent flash judgment going, I don't watch that shit.
Absolutely,
you know?
Same. I was one of those teen girls who was like, Sex and the City, I like Daria, I'm deep. Mm-hmm. I would never watch something like that. And now I'm like, I wish I'd watched it when I was a teenager. Like it would have
been so great.
Made me so
it's
cool.
So great. My friend Mario plays Anthony on it.
I love Mario Cantone. Oh.
And you know, Mario's the best. And he played, you know, the Mooch on President's Show. And he's my mother's student at Emerson. So I knew Mario when I was like 8 years old. And he was like a student at Emerson College.
Oh my God. Like, I've
known him my whole life. And so then, and just like that, is like some crazy postmodern fever dream of the show. And also, it is like a boomer roadmap for like every misguided decision about orientation and race that you could make.
Career, everything. It just,
I mean, listen, I'm going to say some things that maybe are controversial, but I really am like, they, this season, I think there was a part where I was like, wow, they're like segregating the Black cast.
Yeah. Nia never left her apartment. Nia never did anything. Nia just sat in her apartment and then Miranda would come back and be like, oh, I had a tough day. And she'd be like, I'm here to talk about it, or I'm having sex. That's what I'm here to do. It was just like, why?
She's a professor at Columbia and she's like worried about her boyfriend and a baby. What the fuck are we talking about? But then also the couple that loses the baby, and yet like they're just in her closet, like they're in her closet.
They're just in her closet, like walk-in bedroom, like the whole time, and it's just their whole relationship is just them back and forth going, but I have a meeting, but I have a meeting, but you said you'd be at my meeting, but you said you'd be at my gala.
Che is like a hate crime. Like the character of Che is a hate crime.
I hate that you're about to make me log in as the Che defender, but I viciously love, protect, and serve Che Diaz. There's a reason Che is so polarizing as a character, and that's because they are such an amazing character. And I know everyone is hoping that they write Che Diaz off because
I want more Che.
Are you kidding me?
It's not about that. Here's the thing is, to me, I can love how insane. There's a moment where Che is watching their stand up from when they were before they came out
as non-binary.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're watching and that Che, which is essentially Rosie O'Donnell. I mean,
yeah,
they might as well be Rosie. The hair and the material,
yeah,
is like the material.
I was like, what are you trying to tell us that Che Diaz was doing stand up in the 90s? Like, I don't think Che is that old.
And then, this is the thing. And then there's a moment where it cuts back and Che fucking hits that joint. So ridiculously hard that the actor, you can see that the actor reacts to it. Like, it's not Che.
Yeah,
it's just the actor going like, Jesus Christ. And that's what I love about the show is that it's like, it is at one level, it does things that are such crazy big swings that you're like, what the fuck are they doing? Then in other moments, you're like, I can see through everything. It's not even like anyone's acting. Like, this, no acting going on.
I am pretty sure brought back the guy who plays Aiden, and he was just like, really? Are you okay? Like, in every scene he's in, he's not acting. He's just kind of like, you want me to say this?
Mary called him Aiden Scissorhands when he was in that first outfit.
Runs into him on the street and he looks like a villain or like a murderer.
Oh my God. First off, you know that they initially wrote that Aiden's son was a fucking school shooter and then they did a rewrite.
Yeah.
Because like Aiden's son like comes up on the thing and it's like, Dad, I'm gonna shoot the school up. And like they were like, oh, I guess we can't do that. We'll just have him like take mushrooms and crash his car.
And then have Aiden be like, how did he even get psilocybin? And it's like,
what the fuck are you talking about?
And him just
about?
Freaking out, like, I can't believe he's doing this. And it's like, he's 14. He's like doing.
My favorite is Miranda, the physical comedy of Miranda coming out of that deprivation tank. And I turned to Flossie and I was like, this woman ran for governor of New York.
Yep.
What the fuck? Where is the dignity? I said, where is the dignity?
And now she's trying on strap-ons and getting fingered in kitchens while Carrie pees in a Snapple bottle.
And why is she waiting in line for the fucking sitcom pilot taping? First off,
that part bothered me so much. I was like, first of all, why wouldn't Che hook Miranda up with like, you're gonna be, you know, in my trailer. You're gonna come on set with me. You're like, what is happening? That like, and that's, and then, oh, but still, when Che like approaches Miranda after and is like, you ruin the family scene, That was when everything, like that moment, I was just, I will randomly think to myself, you ruined the family scene.
Ruined the family scene. Like, that was the problem with this fucking sitcom. not that the showrunner in the middle of the taping was like,
you
this
can't
person
act.
Is a terrible actor and can't do the scene. Tony Danza was incredible.
Yeah,
I have to
he
say.
Was
Tony
really
Danza
good.
Was, and Tony Danza was really fantastic
what a get.
In the
yeah.
show. What a get. And this is the other thing. When has it ever taken 5 months to film a pilot? Okay. What are we talking about? Reshoots and
rewrites and reshoots.
What are we talking about? Rewrites and reshoots.
And then Che buying an apartment, not even after it's sold. It just made no sense to me. It's just.
I love everything about that show. I love Mario's storyline.
Oh, Mario's storyline of this last season was my favorite. Everything was Stanford going away to become a monk. And what it
is. He's dead.
He's
that
dead. Yes, he died.
Dead.
And to me, it's like, just let him die.
Let him rest.
But
what are you doing?
The writer said in one of the after show podcasts that actor specifically said he did not want to be written off, even if he died. He did not want to be killed in the script. He wanted to remain in the universe, even if he didn't. He's dead. But so they respected that. And decided to make him a monk because Michael Patrick King and Sarah Jessica Parker went on a trip to Japan after Sex and the City 2 came out. And the monasteries inspired him so much that he was like, this is what we have to do for Stanford.
Come on.
And I love that really all that is used for is to make Anthony go, you know what? I should bottom. Like, that's the whole.
Oh my God, my favorite line is when Mario Anthony goes, well, because I'm the man and you're the woman.
Yeah.
The craziest line in the world. It was the craziest
was
line
just,
in the world.
Yeah.
And yet the truest to an old queen
yeah.
that you could think of.
It was like realistic to me. It was like there are older queer people who like view the world still this way. And they
yes.
really
sorry I said
down.
Old queen, guys, but
I think it was okay.
It's all right.
And if you're talking about okay. Mario Cantone, I think that's appropriate.
But although Mario looks very good, looks amazing,
oh, he's,
by the way.
Looks honestly the best on the show.
Looks amazing. And he does look the best on the show. And I mean, I cannot... there was also the episode where they pick up the two young Australian footballers, which I can't imagine that the two Australian rugby players had in mind that they were going to pick up women that were their grandmother's age at an Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be ageist, but let's be realistic about two 20-year-old Australian footballers who are fresh on their trip.
Yeah,
and
I mean...
they're voluntarily... Like, I could see something where they sort of are forced together and then maybe, but they're coming over going, hey, mate, hey, man,
yeah.
Come on, man.
I can see it for our ladies. Yeah.
No, I cannot. No.
Yeah. Those are their sexes. No. They're our ladies.
No.
Their fashions and distinct style and charm.
I refuse to accept it. I refuse to accept it. But again, all of this is said, it's like love for a family member. Like, I want this show, again,
yeah.
to go for like 10
seasons.
I want
a million episodes.
I want the finale to just be 30 minutes of just still shots on coffins.
Yep, truly.
That's it. Just like all of them in their coffins.
Yeah.
They're all dead.
I want the set. I want the 6 feet under ending where I get to see all of the conclusions. I want every moment with them. They're my girls. So
I'm all in. I'm fine. I'm all in. I mean, you're going to, all my television, you're going to be like, Jesus, like Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah. I mean, like, you got Real Housewives of New York and Orange County. You're midway through Jack Ryan in The Diplomat. You got The Last of Us, Love and Death, which I still need to watch, actually.
Ooh, Love and Death is good because, you know, they have the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, Candy.
That's another two for
yeah, that's another
Candy.
One. Didn't watch
and
that.
And it's very, well, watch Candy and Love and Death because they completely approach it from different perspectives.
Okay. This is the first time I'm actually feeling pulled in. I was going to do Love and Death because, you know, it has Elizabeth, it has Jesse Plemons.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, that's the one to do. And I don't know, the Hulu's a little hit or miss, but I mean, I would do both, yeah.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, what's her name? Jessica Biel. Jessica Biel, you know, she also produces the Bill Pullman vehicle, The Sinner.
Oh yeah.
So she starred in The Sinner, but she created it too, or she's one of the big executive producers, and she's so it's interesting because she's gotten more involved in like making true crime stuff.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting turn for Jessica Biel. So it's interesting her take in that versus the Elizabeth Olsen one. And I think they both they're both very interesting. Hers is a little broader,
okay.
I'll say.
Okay.
Hers is a little broader. Yeah, it's weird. I either like reality or hardcore spy shit. Like I'm a very weird.
It is really just like reality or like dad shows, Jack Ryan, The Diplomat.
Yes. Although the one there that I really recommend everybody watch on Peacock. By the way, Peacock, in my view, again, this is not a call to action. Peacock is. You want to talk freebie. That's the place where
Peacock is
it
killing
all
it.
Lives.
Peacock
is killing
it. And this
it.
Is not a call to action because of the strikes. And so I'm not asking you to watch anything on these platforms.
No, I think they're all garbage when it comes to paying.
They're
people.
All garbage. Don't watch these shows until we get a fair deal. Any. Don't sign up for. But let me tell
but
you, one
traitors.
You might want to. Oh, The Traitors on Peacock.
The Traitors is, first off, the best one is the Australian one.
Yes, the best
one
is the Australian original. One. Agree.
Although it's actually originally it's a Dutch show, and it was conceptually supposed to be originally set on a pirate ship.
Why?
Where there was like saboteurs. Yes, that was the.
Were they gonna sink the ship?
They had to walk a plank and all this stuff. It was like a model of like a. It was still a land-based pirate ship.
So then they decided to make it about a castle.
Well, yes. Basically, the pitch from the producers, the Dutch. TV were like, this is too weird, but let's make it Traitors. So then they put it, I don't know the Dutch, where the setting is for the Dutch one, because we've been trying to find it, but it's actually been now I think in 15 different countries. There's a bunch of traitors.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Australian one, incredible. Australians,
that was my
brutal.
Favorite.
They
yeah.
are brutal people. They really are tough people. Then I sound like Trump right there, but they're very tough people.
Yeah.
And then you get into the UK. I don't understand the US one, why they are doing half reality people.
Yeah, it wasn't really necessary. Yeah, and it's like
it wasn't necessary. It's like putting amateurs in professionals.
Yeah, it just made people automatically distrust some of the celebrities. Like I know Kate Chastain because I watched Below Deck and I would trust her with my life. I knew that she was on the side of good, and I would be in there being like, you guys, I know she seems bitchy, but that's because you don't know Kate. But Kate is not a traitor. And they all just kind of were like, well, I don't really know her. I don't really know her show, and I don't trust her. No.
Yes. Well, that's the interesting thing about the traitors is that, for people who don't understand what it is basically they have to do sort of challenges. So I know a lot of people don't like challenge-based.
Yeah, the challenges are kind of annoying to me.
The challenges are annoying, but since... It's mostly about these interpersonal dynamics while there are a group of people who have been, three people who have been tapped to quietly meet. Nobody knows who they are. So everyone doesn't know who the traitors are. And they eliminate people every night. But there's also like a council meeting where everyone can eliminate one person who they think is a traitor. And the traitors have a huge advantage.
Yeah.
But what's also really interesting to me is the dynamics, which always boil down to either it is, oh, you're heavy or you're ugly or you're not sociable. You must be a traitor.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like, always you're kind of weird. So you must be a traitor. Like I noticed that like when everybody else opened their eyes, you kind of open your eyes slowly. So I just think you're a traitor. It never is anything that makes sense. And it's just like...
No, it never makes sense. And they always go, I have the evidence. I've seen the evidence. You go, what evidence? What are you
talking
about?
And they're just like,
about?
I know
and
the
no
evidence.
And no one ever cites it.
Yeah.
No one ever cites anything. They just go, I know the evidence is clear. And you're like, what?
And it's like, what evidence? Like, what they looked at you kind of weird? Or like, what?
Oh, God. Everyone should watch The Traitors. Everyone in America, around the world, should watch The Traitors.
So good.
The American one is just worth it for Alan Cumming's behavior during the show,
yeah.
which is crazy.
He's bad shit.
Great host.
He's an amazing host.
Bad shit.
Truly, like, they were just like, you know what, Alan, do your thing.
Can I do this show every week? Can I just do this show every week? I would gladly talk about television with you every week.
We need to do, you got to be a regular guest because I have a million other shows, but we got to wrap this up.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm such a chatty cat.
I mean, I feel like the listeners got a lot of good recommendations out of this one. And okay. I mean, I'm always happy when I get to talk cult docs. So thank you so much for joining me today. And also just want to say to my listeners, if you want to support the actors and writers, we are still on strike. Yes. Anyone in LA or New York can join a picket line or drop off food and water. And you can donate money to the Entertainment Community Fund, which helps non-actor Hollywood crew members who suffer hardships due to the strike. You can donate at entertainmentcommunity.org and make sure to direct your gift to the film and television category when asked. Tony, do you have any other plugs? Where can the people follow you? What should they know?
Well, you know, you can always go to The Real Actual Tony on Instagram, and that's where I also promote Don't Panic. And listen to Don't Panic wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for coming to TV Club. And, you know, TV Club, there's a lot of TV coming up. I want to make sure you're caught up on The Boys because we have Gen V coming out on Prime Video, which is the spinoff of The Boys. We also have Invincible coming back. So if you didn't watch the first season of Invincible and then also Adam Eve and Invincible,
Adam Eve,
make sure you're all caught up on that because you know I'm about to go hard for those shows. Okay. You know it. We also have Below Deck, Down Under Ending. But don't worry, because Below Deck Mediterranean is coming to take its place. Captain Sandy will be back in our hearts and just there to tell us everything's going to be okay. So we're waiting, and we're going to get back to Captain Sandy so soon. But they released a trailer, and it's going to be good. It's going to be a good, good season. Just the crew they have together, I know there's going to be drama, so I'm really excited. That's all I'm going to give you this week for TV homework. I think that's enough. And also keep up on all the 90 Day Fiancé stuff, because let me tell you, this next episode of 90 Day Fiancé Last Resort, I had the pleasure of seeing it early, and it is one of the most shocking things I've ever seen on my American television. So
the hot tub when he stands.
Oh,
up in the
this
hot
is
tub?
After the hot tub. Let me tell you, it gets even wilder. Net. Yeah, Big Ed. They decide to give these people sex lessons at the resort, and I think that's all I gotta say.
Oh my god, we could do a whole.
We could honestly just 90 day for another hour. Okay, we're wrapping this up. I want to thank you. I want to thank you all so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode, another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Anita Flores, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.